You're me a punch, yeah, Rama.
Okay, so, so we're starting the parshiyos of Avraham Avinu. Actually, it started at the end of last week's parsha, but we'll call it parshiyos Lech Lecha. So I wanted to do something a little bit unique for 1 or 2 or 3 weeks, depending on the feedback. I wanted to do an analysis of Avraham Avinu's system of logic. So just to give the introduction, Avraham Avinu, I don't know if you guys realize, was one of the most remarkable individuals in the history of mankind. The Rambam writes in Avodah Zarah, in Aleph Gimel, that he grew up in a world, can you imagine a world where every single person is worshipping Avodah Zarah, and his family worshipped Avodah Zarah, and Rambam says he himself started out worshipping Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam writes that he had this quest, this burning desire to search for truth, and by day and by night he would ponder and contemplate and analyze, and through his own logic he was able to deduce the basic tenets of Yiddishkeit, the fact that there's a Bore and all the basic tenets of all of Yiddishkeit. The Gemara says in Yoma on Chav Ches Amveh that Avraham Avinu fulfilled all the mitzvos. How did he fulfill the mitzvos? Because he figured them out. Imagine, you have a person, his whole entire family, the whole world is worshiping Avodah Zarah, and based on a burning desire to seek the truth, he's able to find within himself the knowledge to figure out all the basic tenets of Yiddishkeit. Something remarkable. And imagine if we could figure out his system of logic. Imagine, you know, what that would do for us in terms of solidifying our emunah, and in terms of tapping into the Mesorah and appreciating Avraham Avinu. So that's what I wanted to discuss a little bit. How did he do it? What was his system of logic? How did he figure it out? So that's what I want to do. It really, just to explain to you how, as a disclaimer, the Kesef Mishnah writes in Avodah Zarah that in order to resolve a certain stira in Chazal, he says that Avraham Avinu began this quest at the age of 3, and he concluded at the age of 40. So that means he spent 37 years contemplating by day and by night, the Rambam says. So to do in 13, you know, 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, one or two sessions, you know, like, you can understand it's not going to do justice. But just to get a taste for what he did. So that's what I want to do a little bit. So, what did he do? So you have to understand that there are a lot of steps to this system of logic. So we'll do one step this week, maybe a little more next week. We'll see where we're holding, if you guys want to continue. But for now, what was the first thing he asked himself? How did he figure out? Whatever we do, why can't we do it ourselves? So the Rambam tells us that the first, what Avraham Avinu contemplated was, he looked at the heavenly spheres and he asked, what's causing them to spin? What's causing the sun and the moon and to go around the galaxies? Now, Rav Avigdor Miller pointed out that he didn't ask himself one question for 37 years, obviously. It's a mashal. What the Rama means to write is that he was able to observe the phenomena of nature, and through a brutally honest and logical approach, he was able to deduce the entire system of the Torah. So that's what I want to do a little bit. You can, if you learn how to study and to analyze correctly, you can get pretty far. So we'll do it. I'll just do a little bit now, and then next week we'll work on how to make a golem. That's much further along. But for now, get this out from the beginning. So I'll give one example, and we can develop a little bit. Let's take the teeth, and this is really just a random example of something in nature that if you study it, you'll see remarkable ingenuity to the point that you can see the Bore himself if you study it properly. So let's study the teeth of a human being for a few minutes. When we look at the shape of the teeth, so you ever notice that the front teeth are all thin and the back teeth are wide? Ethan has the dance next week, so just to tell you that the back teeth are called molars.
I push off 2 weeks.
Fine, the back teeth are called molars. And the front teeth are called incisors. Why is it that our front teeth are thin and the back teeth are wide? Why is it not the opposite? It's random. The answer is that the front teeth are like daggers. They slice into the food, and then it gets pushed to the back of your mouth, and it gets ground, you know, you grind it up with the molars. Do you know what would happen if it was the opposite? If your molars were in front and your incisors were in the back? You try biting into an apple, it's not going to go very nicely. And then after, if you get something out of the apple, when it goes to the back and of your mouth and you try to grind it up with thin teeth, it's not going to go very nicely. So it's perfect. The shape of the teeth are perfectly planned to accommodate a perfect system of breaking down the food. Now, let's consider another small nakuda, which is the length of the teeth. Ever wonder why teeth are a certain length? Why aren't they longer? Why aren't they shorter? Well, if they would be longer, you wouldn't be able to put enough pressure into your bite. Or you might not be able to open and close your mouth. Your mouth would be wide open and you couldn't open and close it because they're longer. Right? You wouldn't be able to put pressure into your bite. If they were shorter, you wouldn't be able to withstand the wear and tear of daily eating cornflake chicken day in and day out. So they're the perfect length to give you enough strength, but at the same time, to allow for you to have enough pressure in your bite. And now we come to the great miracle, which is the material of the teeth. The teeth, I don't know if you guys know, but in a kitchen, you have to like change your knives once in a while or sharpen them. Like if you cut, they get dull, knives get dull. Yet a person chews his food day in and day out, year after year after year, and our teeth don't go dull. How is that possible? How is it possible that the teeth don't go dull after years? You ever have like a parent like, go to the dentist to sharpen my teeth? Like, what can you do? Never, right? Like, grandparents, like, I don't know, like if they don't brush well, like, you know, I don't know what happens then. But like, never, right? You never heard of such a thing? How is it possible? A knife, steel, has to be sharpened, like the teeth don't. So the pshat is that teeth are made out of a remarkable material called enamel. Enamel's an unbelievably strong substance. It's heat resistance and cold resistance. When Rachman al Slan is a fire and the house dies, you know, the family burns up, chas v'sholom, they get the dental records because the teeth actually can withstand the fire. So that's how you identify people with their dental records, because it's made of enamel. Where does the enamel come from? The mother, when the embryo was in the mother's womb, was the mother eating enamel? She was eating salad and pizza and soda. She's not eating enamel. When the baby was born, was he eating enamel? He was eating milk. So where did the enamel come from? So you have to say that inside the baby is a microchip that can take the nutrients out of these random foods and convert that into enamel. Can you imagine the sophisticated device that can take the nutrients out of pizza and soda and whatever nosh the mother's eating and convert it into enamel? I would like to issue a challenge. So we're going to put, you know, Professor Shinar and Professor Yanishevsky give us a lab. We're going to give them a lab. We're going to put them into a room. We're going to give them some food of a daily diet. We're going to give them some pizza and chips and water, and they're going to get marked on this lab. And I want them to convert that into enamel. Dean Sokol is also very smart. Let's throw him in the room also. He's a very smart person also. Impossible, right? Impossible. Yet somehow this microchip can take these substances and turn them into enamel. It's remarkable. If you study it more, so there's another major issue that the teeth have to go through, which is that the size of the teeth, you know, a regular adult tooth, they're not going to fit in a baby, in a child. So how's the child going to eat? The child can't eat if he doesn't have teeth that fit in his mouth. No problem. The miracle happens twice. Two sets of teeth. Children have their teeth, and adults have teeth. So now the miracle just happened two times. The body now just produced two sets of teeth. But how does it know? If it's random, how does it know to have the adult teeth in the adult and the children's teeth in the children? Why is it reversed? Let's have the adult teeth in the... Let's have a random world. It's all random. But it's perfectly timed that the child has the children's teeth and the adult has the adult teeth. And if you analyze the timing of the teeth, it's also absolutely, it's stunning. A baby is born without teeth. He only develops the teeth after a few months. Why is that? Because when the baby is born, if he had teeth, I don't know if he would survive, because he wouldn't be able to nurse properly from his mother, because he would bite his mother, and it would be brutally painful to the mother. And it also would be a waste of materials, because a baby is not physically ready to eat solids. A baby can't eat solids, he would choke. Only after a few months is the baby ready to eat solids. So why should the human body waste material? Why should there be teeth when it's unnecessary? So the teeth are perfectly timed to develop exactly when the child is ready to start eating solids. So we have a microchip that is controlling when we convert all these substances into enamel, and it's timed to perfectly create one set of teeth when it's a child, and then to get rid of the younger set of teeth, and convert it, you know, and then create a second set of teeth exactly at the right time. I'll just do a little bit more, but this is endless. But just to point out a few more, you have the, you know, if you look at the intonation, you'll find that there are different sets of teeth depending on different sets of animals. So you look at a lion. A lion has a lot of canines, a lot of big sharp teeth. And a cow has a lot of molars, a lot of like wide. What's the pshat? So the pshat is that a lion needs big sharp teeth because he's a carnivore, so he's eating animals, and in order to kill them, he would not be the king of the jungle if he had a cow's teeth. Let's put it like that. He wouldn't survive. And a cow is a herbivore, so it has to have white teeth to grind up all the fiber and all the hard, tough grass that it's chewing. So it's perfectly created exactly at the exact animal has the exact set of teeth that it needs to survive. So it's really, I'll tell you guys the honest truth, evolution is insane. It's absolutely insane. It's really ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous. My son agrees. That's why he came down just to hear this. But as I say, this is an endless pursuit, which goes on forever. So that's the first step of his system of logic, is just looking at the universe, and you can pick anything, and you can realize that the absolute fine tuning, the plan and purpose is something that's stunning and endless. You're gonna have, Ethan's gonna spend his entire life on teeth. His entire life is gonna be on teeth, and he's gonna see that what I did doesn't scratch the surface.
I'm sure.
What?
I'm sure.
Right, yeah, first. If you learn sure right, you learn teeth right. So, can you imagine that he's gonna spend 4 years going through all the schooling on teeth? So, yeah, maybe you'll get like an extra point in the dads because of this, but. You know what I'm saying? And Shia Kornick and Adriel are gonna go to medical school, and they're gonna spend how many years on one more organ? You know what I'm saying? Like if you're gonna be like a gastro, like on the stomach, like that's it. And their entire lifetime is gonna be on all the phenomenon of the stomach. You know, and how many specialists are there? There's like a doctor like for the ENTs and like for orthopedists, and like how many systems are there that are endless? So. That's the first step in the system of Avraham Avinu. Maybe I'll do one more week next week. We'll see. Shkayach. Oh,
yeah. All right, it's Rachel Imenu's birthday. Yeah. So we'll sing a song for Rachel Imenu. Yeah.